Mini episode 92 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by the Pullins Group, delivering public affairs consulting and marketing services for small businesses trying to grow. Follow them on the web at PullinsGroup.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to mini episode 92 of the FDH Lounge and our presentation of the Fantasy Draft Help.com Insider in this format after 8 years on our previous platform. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris here with our overview for Fantasy Baseball 2012. This segment will be the fifth one over the next couple of weeks, serializing our forthcoming draft guide, Fantasy Baseball Draftology 2012, available now at FantasyDraftHelp.com. Every year we take a look at the fantasy landscape to single out some notes of particular interest for you as you are formatting your strategy for the upcoming campaign. In a moment, our 2012 Fantasy Baseball Overview. Folks, you're listening to the FantasyDraftHelp.com Insider.
I'm telling you, she is a real ball buster.
A real ice queen.
I just burned my tongue.
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show. And see if she likes the goods.
I'm just going to grab this shirt if you don't mind. Just watch out for the guns. They'll get you.
You are pathetic.
Wait a minute! I'm offended! I have very little time to get to the gym, so I have to scope my guns at the office.
Oh, stop calling your arms guns.
Okay, here's our 2012 Fantasy Baseball Overview with five overarching notes across the different positions as you contemplate your strategy for the year. Note number one, since Major League Baseball put forward its revised drug testing policies in 2006, we've been monitoring them for effects on the fantasy game. From the outset, we had our eye on an aspect that was being overlooked by the media, testing for amphetamines. For decades, baseball had a subculture of greenie use, as players would use pills or even spiked coffee to maintain supercharged focus during the dog days of summer. We predicted 6 years ago that baseball would see a marked increase in strikeouts, as batters without amphetamines struggled to keep up with fastballs, and a decrease in home runs, as hitters would be dissuaded from continuing to use roids. Although, as Manny Ramirez, Ryan Braun, and others have proven, the game is still not completely clean, and there's still no blood testing for HGH. But these are side issues. Again, we forecast an increase in strikeouts and a decrease in home runs. Both have been proven right. Strikeouts rose from 6.3 per game in 2005 to 7.1 per game in 2011, an increase of 11%. And 2011 marked the high water mark of that time period, showing that the trend is ongoing. In terms of home runs from 2005 to 2011, they fell from an average of 1.03 per game to 0.94, a 9% decrease. And again, 2011 marked the low water mark of the time period. So that trend also is ongoing. But the drop in power is only part of the story, as baseball has evolved more in the direction of the speed-oriented game of the 1980s. Home runs are still more plentiful than stolen bases, and barring huge changes in the game, always will be. But steals have risen from .53 per game in 2005 to .67 per game in 2011, and you guessed it, 2011 again marked the high water mark of this trend. As homers have fallen and steals have climbed, the ratio between the two has narrowed from 1.94 home runs per stolen base in 2005 to only 1.4 homers per steal in 2011, a plummet of 27%. With these trends accelerating over the last 6 years, how do you apply the knowledge to the construction of your team? In terms of pitchers, you need to value power and the accompanying strikeouts heavily because there are now enough ace and borderline ace types in the game to relegate most pitch-to-contact hurlers to at least the middle rounds of a draft. In terms of hitters, acknowledge that true power is at more of a premium now, and that with stolen bases on the rise, you can no longer afford to populate your lineup with one-dimensional runners who drag you down in home runs and RBI. Relative to public perception, speed is vastly overvalued. Note number two, off-season position changes have rescued third base from its shallowest point in the modern era. Due to the off-season signings of Prince Fielder, Jose Reyes, and Albert Pujols, Miguel Cabrera, Hanley Ramirez, and Mark Trumbo, respectively, are moving to the far left of the infield. So some of the doom and gloom about the position that you will see propagated in magazines that went to press earlier this winter will be unfounded. Note number three, catcher and middle infield are always the shallowest positions and must be monitored each year to see where the greater scarcity lies. This year, thanks to the influx of young sluggers, catcher is actually deeper than either second base or shortstop. In terms of middle infield depth, shortstop has it narrowly over second base, but neither is what you would consider ideal past the top couple of players at the position. Note number four, the suspension of Ryan Braun removes one player from a very short list of full season options who deliver both great power and great speed. This scarcity is the main reason we have Matt Kemp as the top pick on our board, and why we have both Carlos Gonzalez and Justin Upton rated as first-round value when few other services will put both of them in there. We advise you to gravitate to the few players who can provide you with this balance on their own. But if you need to start prioritizing on category value during your draft, don't sleep on the concept of offset twins. For example, if you need to pick up Mark Reynolds for his power, knowing that he's going to kill your batting average, then Michael Young's high-average slappy routine starts to look more palatable, since the average of the two positions will deliver decent power and batting average collectively. Finding two players who can balance out each other's strengths and weaknesses can be a way to fight the shrinking supply of those who can furnish balance on their own. Note number five. While the supply of legitimate number one and number two fantasy pitchers in the game has plateaued over the past year, it had risen dramatically over the past two or three seasons. Great power arms are in good supply, and while you can't wait endlessly to start picking them up, the urgency in doing so is nowhere near what it was even 5 years ago. So there's your overview for this fantasy baseball season. In the weeks to come, we'll continue serializing the features in Fantasy Baseball Draftology 2012, which will be available in mid-March on FantasyDraftHelp.com. Thanks for checking us out. Go break off a little value on your opponents in fantasy sports, and be sure to sample our other Nothing Is Off-Topic mini-episodes, including our recent conversation with rock superstar Steve Perry from the FDH Lounge.